It's very, very serious. If we take a scratch of what is going on in the Middle East and northern part of Africa, it's amazing. But also I'm thinking that not only that the incidents with the Arab Spring can teach so many of us what is happening in that part of Africa, but also the situation in South Africa, in apartheid, and in Namibia, and in Angola, in Rwanda, Burundi, in Liberia, and other parts, Congo. So violence has been there in African communities and states.
What are some of the factors that are contributing to this?
Well, I think the whole distribution of power, I think that's a starting, how resources are distributed in the community, how absence of job for the youth, how women be marginalized on the most basic fundamental need, access of water, access of vaccination to the kids, etc., etc. Those are the triggers, I would say, and we could say that those are the root causes of violence in so many parts of Africa.
Is there anything that is being done to address this problem?
Different communities are addressing it differently. Military intervention in some parts of Africa, as you do know, the United Nations have done a great job with the different agencies. For example, in Kigali, UNIFEM, different NGOs are attached with the police stations where women are monitoring what is happening in their community and also prosecuting the perpetrators of violence. There was a really an interesting case in 2008 in Senegal. This NGO is called A Profess, and this was a legal counsel where it helped. There was a girl who was raped in the community by some big shot. And the fact that they had a legal counsel where communities, they don't have access to legal and resources to prosecute big people in the community. But they provided that to the community and helped to prosecute the guy. And he was put in prison for 10 years. And that was a big victory to the victim of violence and to the communities that are trying to heal. And again, I'll go back to the women in Rwanda, where I also visited the women in Sudan in 2009. And it was amazing to see how women for the first time talk about the access of land, something that was a taboo to talk about that. But with the help of UN and other NGOs and other activists in the community, we've seen that there's a glimpse of hope.
Are these interventions by the United Nations, in your view, effective in stopping violence?
To the greatest extent, it is, because then it empowers the community. So the people in the community have power to control their resources, to elect the leaders that they want. And also, for the first time, we see now women coming and taking leadership positions because they're being empowered. You know, in the past, without that help, without that resources in the community, it was hard for the communities to come together and pull together and do that.
Now, to wrap up, Dr. Mhando, give me your prognosis of the situation in Africa as far as resolving or dealing with this problem of violence is concerned. Are you optimistic that it's a problem that can eventually be ended?
Sadly, violence, it's like ending racism, ending poverty, ending all those ills that we don't want to imagine. I'm saying sadly because, unfortunately, as a human being, we have a capacity to reimagine, to rethink. I mean, we have seen so many times where human beings have a capacity to do good. We have been conditioned to think worse of other people who do not look like us, don't share the same values, resources, and what have you. But I believe that there's a room to teach the young generation. There's a room to reteach our own selves on how to deal with the people who are not like us, people who do not have, to give back. And again, they give back. We tell the students, instead of throwing the books away, there are some kids who need the books. Instead of throwing the shoes away, there are some kids who need the shoes. So we see that power, and I think that if we do it, and there's no appropriate time. I think when they're 2 years old, when you teach them the good and the bad, teach them how to be kind and nice. When they're five, teach them how to be nice and kind. When they're 20, you teach them how to be nice and kind. And when they're 57, you teach them. So there's no appropriate time. And I think I see that I'm optimistic that the current generation and the coming generation have more power to change what the previous generation has failed to change. And so I'm very, very optimistic.